If you're looking for a natural way to boost your libido, believe me, your options are endless. There are a lot of credible holistic products that can help you, yet there are just as many sketchy libido products that make big promises, charge big prices, and do not deliver. So as you look at the overwhelming amount of possibilities, who can you trust? That's what we're here to find out. Hi, I'm Dr. Trina Reed, sexologist, and welcome to the Pursuit of Pleasure podcast, where we do a deep dive into what makes a woman in a long-term relationship excited to have sex. Thank you for subscribing to my YouTube channel. And if you want a soul-quenching, mind-blowing sex life, please check out my free masterclass workbook and video. Holistic supplements are an unregulated market, and it's hard to know what is credible or not. So that's why in this podcast, we're talking to Dr. Alisha Raji. This is the second podcast on how holistic medicine and naturopathy can help with common sexual challenges. So if you haven't had a chance, please watch part one, where Dr. Raji and I discuss whether naturopathy really can help with your libido. Link will be in the description. When you walk into a health food store or go online and see the rows and rows of supplements, unless you do your research, you are not sure what each product does, and there's no one to advise you on their potential side effects. And just to give some background with me taking herbal supplements, since my early 20s, I've taken St. John's wort to help with PMS, and it has worked really well. My experience with St. John's wort is when I'm feeling anxiety and my mind is whirling, I take two tablets of St. John's wort, and poof, like magic, the anxiety and mind whirling melts away. 30 years later, St. John's wort has not lost its effectiveness. Now, I take other supplements that work, but I've also tried just as many or more supplements that don't work, which turned into a very expensive experiment. There are many products on the market that claim to support women's sexual health, and the options just keep growing. Alternative medicine is a big industry with an estimated global market valued at $200 billion in 2025. Now, the global sexual health supplement market size was estimated at $3.84 billion in 2024, which means there's a lot of companies out there trying to get your attention. And here are just two examples. So this was promoted on my Facebook page with the big and bold headline that read, "Your vagina will thank you." So this product will allegedly help skyrocket mental drive, improve mood, support balanced female hormones, help with hormonal weight gain. It's going to lower stress. It's going to improve my mood and well-being. And it's going to supercharge my circulation. And here's another one specifically for menopausal women that claims it can balance my estrogen, ignite fat-burning hormones, suppress fat-storing hormones, and increase my metabolism and energy by 43%. How did they come up with that number? I have no idea. And you know what they say, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Yet, on the other side of this, what has Western medicine done to address women's sexual libido? There is one FDA-approved product called Agi, but its effectiveness has come under a lot of scrutiny and criticism. So to help us untangle all of this, let's ask an expert. It's a delight to welcome back the very credentialed naturopathic doctor, Dr. Alisha Raji. Dr. Raji graduated from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in 2015. She received a Bachelor of Science degree in 2009. Dr. Raji knows firsthand that by uncovering the root causes of symptoms and by working on all parts of an individual, they can move through their symptoms that may hinder them from achieving their optimum and best selves. I'm excited for us to get into this interview.
We're so lucky to have Dr. Alicia back with us, and we're going to do a deep dive into this tricky situation of supplements. So I was just talking to Dr. Alicia before we came onto the podcast, how I'm at an age now where on my Instagram and my Facebook feeds, I'm getting these libido supplements like your vagina will thank you and your libido is going to go through the roof. I'm going to take this supplement and it's going to give me great skin. It's going to up my libido. It's going to do like all these amazing things. I know that this isn't true, but I just wonder, those women who are desperate to have a solution for their sexual situation, they're looking at this going, wow, this is perfect. This is exactly what I need. And I feel like somebody needs to clarify this situation. And that's why we're bringing you on, Dr. Alicia. So,
sure. Yeah.
Like, I just want you, as accredited medical practitioner, when somebody walks into your office and says, you know, I had the situation, walk us through how you decide what supplement works for them and, you know.
And you brought up a good point because, of course, even I see it all the time, and it's how the algorithm is built. So chances are it's going to hear us on this podcast and we're probably going to get like 20 new ads for some new supplements because they heard us say female libido, but that's okay. And the best advice I've given to people, because I've had this question before, it's just the culture we live in with Instagram and social media, is A, know your sources. There's a lot of influencers out there that don't really have any medical background, and we have to vet that, right? But they're really good at, you know, being on screen and promoting themselves. So kind of look in their bios, see if they are in fact a healthcare practitioner, and that's step one. Step two, even if they are, that's better, but also know that one size does not fit all. And that's kind of where I come in. A naturopathic doctor or any functional medicine practitioner will come in, because then we will look at your symptoms, we'll look at not just your symptoms, how they present, kind of see what could be causing that. Because, yeah, low libido can be caused for so many things. We've talked about that in another podcast, right? About communication styles. Just, yeah, dips in hormones and perimenopause and menopause, but it doesn't look the same for everyone. Like I mentioned before, I've had women come to me in perimenopause that had the highest libido they've had in their life. And that's because, like I said, it's not an on-off switch. It's not like you hit menopause and then one day all your hormones tank. So how can someone on Instagram who doesn't know you kind of just say, I'm going to fix all your problems, right? So chat with someone in detail about all your symptoms, and then that's probably the best result.
Well, that leads me into my next question. So when I go into a health food store and there's rows and rows and rows of supplements, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Do any of these supplements clash with one another? I just don't understand why there isn't more information for women who are experiencing low libido or a dry vagina or these sorts of things.
Yep. And I don't think it's a lack of it. I honestly think it's an overwhelm of information. It's so much out there that you can read that we kind of just get desensitized and stuck. And I are just like, I have no idea. There's just too much out there. You kind of throw your hands up. But it's not that there isn't information, but I think it needs to be. Why not have someone guide you with that information, right? Like, I think I was telling you before, like, we are evidence-based in our profession. So even before this podcast, I was kind of looking to see what is the latest evidence about, you know, common herbs that I like to prescribe that I've seen success with, like Vitex or Chastry. You might see that on your Instagram come up a lot. It's a great herb for, you know, perimenopause or especially menopausal women, but also for PMS. It's a good, like, hormone modulator, for example.
Okay, can I just stop you there for just a second? Can you just tell us what that is again and what it does? Because I feel like people who are watching this would be very interested in what you have to say.
Yeah, maybe because that's the one I see the most on Instagram, maybe because it's one of the supplements that's very marketed. But for good reason, it's a great herb. It will modulate, which means kind of balance your hormones. So it won't necessarily. Some things will might have like a what's called like a suppressing effect or an increasing effect. But I find Vitex is one of those great herbs or Chastity that will help just kind of balance those highs and the lows, right? So that's what a modulator is, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Yeah. Doesn't mean go rush out and take it, but just in the evidence I've seen and with the clients or patients I've seen, it's had good results for that purpose.
So I interrupted you and you were going to give more examples. Sorry.
Okay, no, don't worry. It's just, I have so many different things in my head because I prescribe this stuff almost, you know, every day, right? It's sometimes like, you know, how you said you go into a health food store and you're looking at supplements, right? You kind of turn the back of it. A lot of them, you might notice them now. Chastity, Vitex. You might notice something called DIM, D-I-M. DIM is an interesting one. And people differ with using DIM. I find using DIM in perimenopause is a bit better. In menopause, what it can do is actually tank your estrogen a little bit too low. Not for every woman, but I've seen that. So I'm a little bit more careful with how I use DIM. And then one of my absolute favorites is one you might have heard of. It's called ashwagandha. Have you ever heard of that herb?
No, actually, I haven't. Please, I'm so curious to know.
I love this. One of my favorites for so many things. Even yesterday when I was, because it's one of my favorite herbs to use. Essentially, I use it for cortisol management. And actually, there's a supplement I use that's called Cortisol Manager. And the main component is ashwagandha. And it's a nice little herb. It's also a modulator, but it's further to that more specifically. It's called an adaptogenic herb because it helps you adapt to stressors. So when your cortisol levels or your adrenals are pumping out so much cortisol and so many stress hormones, it's going to deplete, you know, fertility. It's going to deplete, you know, bowel function. It's going to deplete libido for sure because these are things that aren't as essential at the moment, right? It's like when you're running from a bear, you need to just run. So your sympathetic nervous system's always on. So when you can heal your adrenals, ashwagandha is one of those really key herbs that can help modulate that and manage your cortisol level so that all your hormones can kind of balance out from there, right? So those are some examples. And I think I mentioned in another podcast that I do a lot of B vitamin injections because B vitamins, B12, B6, essentially key components in that, and folic acid too, they all have an effect in modulating your cortisol levels and bringing your energy back and just making sure your stress levels aren't like through the roof. It's a good adrenal support that I find people do really well on.
So what I hear you saying is it's not really about low libido. It's more about the factors that are creating a cessation of this libido. So it's the stress. I don't know if I have research on this, and maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I heard that a woman can only produce oxytocin or cortisol. Is that correct? And not
necessarily, but I guess what you're saying is almost like cortisol can suppress the release of oxytocin. It can suppress the release of other hormones too. So that is a good point. But oxytocin is a really interesting one because, as you know, oxytocin gets released it's more of like that connection hormone, right? So when you have connection with your partner, or you have connection with someone else, or a nice big hug, or intimacy, like more intimacy will release oxytocin. And I mean, that does make sense because when someone, you know, when you feel connected and close to someone, just like when you do yoga, just like when you do meditation, your cortisol levels drop. Does that make sense? When your cortisol levels drop, your oxytocin will go up. So that I could see where you're saying, but it doesn't necessarily stop it, but it will probably, maybe inhibit the release when you're really stressed. It's hard to connect to something. It's hard to connect to someone else.
So what you're saying is in that situation, you want to modulate. And like, because you can't take the stress away, but you can modulate the stress.
Yeah, you can do things to help lower it. Like I said, I was talking about things that I can offer in practice, like the ashwagandhas, and there's so many other things that we can go if we ever do a podcast about anxiety and depression and just stress in general, right? You know, you have the magnesiums, you have something called GABA, which is, you know, basically it's one of our hormones that kind of lowers anxiety type thing. And something called L-theanine, which can help lower stress. L-tyrosine, which increases dopamine. So there's just so many different pieces. Magnesium is a calmer. There's so many, but even the simplest things like weight training, going for a run, or lightweight training, I would say, not excessively heavy because that can increase cortisol, but just doing things that can bring your cortisol back down. Talk to friends, connect with people, meditate, you know, there's so many things that'll naturally bring our cortisol levels down that don't include supplements, right? It's just mindfulness, I would say. Nature.
I'm going to put you on the spot and ask about two specific supplements that are meant for women's libidos. And the first one I cannot say without feeling like a 14-year-old boy, and that is horny goat weed.
Yeah, horny goat.
And who came up with that name, horny goat weed?
I have used that. I've used that a lot in men for erectile dysfunction, and I've used it with success. That and tribulus, I don't know if that's the other one that you were thinking of, but tribulus and horny goat weed, tribulus I've used in females as well, because low libido, when you look at a functional medicine or hormonal point, it's that sudden drop in estrogen, but also testosterone, right? So women need testosterone for a healthy sex drive. So I've definitely used tribulus and maca here and there, but maca, some people don't respond well to maca because they can, lack a better word, like feel like really revved up and then they can get anxious from it. But people that do well on maca, it's a good booster in testosterone as well. But yeah, but horny goat weed, I know it's a fun name to say. I've definitely used it, but I personally use it more.
That's interesting. And my second one was maca, because I know that's specifically meant for, well, as far as my limited knowledge, that's specifically meant for women's sexual libido. And you're saying that it can like go too far.
I've seen that before, that like I took maca, but I didn't like, it kind of made me a little anxious, or it made me, like, lack of a better word, revved up. Like I felt like I wasn't calm on it. And it can have that effect too, because it's an energizer, right? Sometimes people need that. They need an energizing boost in their libido. So for some people, it can work really well, right? They're like, I was just feeling so sluggish and out of it and with no desire, you know? And then they took it and all of a sudden they have all this energy, and that's good for those people. It's only a few people that I were just like, it was just too energizing for me. And then maybe they don't take it, or they take like half the dose, or, you know, you can get like maca root powder and just put a little bit in your smoothie. Like, it could be dose dependent too. So maybe don't pump out like really high doses of it if you're someone that responds that way. And if you do, maybe just cut back. But yeah, there's good evidence of it being helpful, and I've seen it work. So
are there supplements to help women who are experiencing a dry vagina?
Mm-hmm.
Or so the dry vagina can lead to uncomfortable and or painful sex. Mm-hmm. So it's a situation. Research has shown that up to 85% of women will experience dry vagina sometime in her life. So that's the majority of women. It doesn't mean that it's going to be chronic, that her vaginal canal will atrophy. It just means that, you know, I think women dip in and out of this dry vagina. Like if you've had children and you're breastfeeding, chances are you're going to have the dry vagina. We dip in and out of these phases where we have this. And is there a supplement that could
help and no. I would say anytime I think of any kind of dry vagina or even kind of atrophy, that's usually a dip in estrogen, right? So when your estrogen dips, that's why you see it more in perimenopause and especially menopause, because it can cause atrophy a little bit. And yeah, that dry vagina just comes with that dip in estrogen. And it sounds very simple, and when you think about it, but you know, oils, anything oily, right? So fish oils, omega-3s, I feel like have been very, very helpful for that. And then vitamin E. Those two are probably extremely helpful. There are times where I have, and I was actually looking at this yesterday, because we have a forum with a bunch of naturopaths in Canada, and I kind of read through what, because people kind of drop their research that they find it so cool. And there was one, someone was talking about one being done about vitamin E suppositories, which was really, really cool.
So can you walk me through what a vitamin E, or just vitamin E or a vitamin E suppository? I get the oils, and that kind of intuitively makes sense.
Right.
But I don't understand how vitamin E could help with a dry vagina.
It can help because it's one of the most lubricating of the vitamins. Your vitamin D, E, K, and A is your fat-soluble vitamins. And vitamin E on many different levels can help with hydration. So I've actually helped people with like their skin using vitamin E. It's just a very moisturizing and hydrating overall vitamin, right? It's a fat-soluble vitamin. So that's just essentially how it works. But another one similar to that I was reading about was hyaluronic acid. It has a similar effect, if you've ever heard of hyaluronic acid. We typically think hyaluronic acid for our skin, right? Like plump, skin, wrinkles, all that stuff. But hyaluronic acid is one of those most moisture capturing vitamins out there. So that's just essentially how it works. It just will trap the moisture and kind of keep it intact in your bodies. Yeah, that's just, those are two attempts of how to help. But that plus maybe addressing the drop in estrogen, I think would be best, right? Like,
and talked about. Is there a way in your world to address the drop in estrogen? Because I know so many women who do not want to go on estrogen. Like, they just don't want to do it. And I don't have an answer for them. Like, I don't know what to say to them if they are choosing to not go that way. So what would your suggestion be?
And I'm not opposed to it. It's just in Alberta for naturopath. It's not in our scope, unfortunately, to do HRT or hormone replacement therapy or bioidenticals right now. It's not in our scope. It might be one day. It is in BC and it is in Ontario for naturopath. So when I kind of see the results that they have with their patients, it is pretty promising that that has helped them. So my advice would be, you know, let's say you've tried other things. We've tried the herbs. Like I talked about Vitex, I talked about DIM. I talked about kind of, there's menopausal supplements out there that I've recommended. Sometimes are blends, right? And we've tried, you know, yeah, the vitamin E, the hyaluronic acid. We've tried a few things and it's just not giving that same result. You're doing the mindfulness. You're trying to lower your cortisol levels, all the things that you're doing. It's not a bad idea to just explore that with your, that one's, you'd have to explore with your doctor and just see if that's a fit.
So I'm thinking specifically of one friend I have who just doesn't want the pharmaceutical.
Right.
It's not the estrogen. And because I said to her, you know, you can get this bioidentical. It's just that it's a pharmaceutical and she doesn't want to put a pharmaceutical into her body. Uh-huh. And, you know, so her best bet would just be to stay on these menopause supplements then?
Yeah, do that. But also, like, it's one of those things, like, start with the simplest thing you can do, which is your diet and lifestyle, right? So are you walking, kind of just moving your body, blood flow, that kind of thing, right? That's, it's a simple thing, but, it, you know, blood flow helps with hydration, blood flow helps with, you know, vaginal dryness as well, a little bit too, just getting things moving. And just like eating anti-inflammatory foods, making sure your body is, you know, just in the best shape that it can be so that you can release as many hormones as possible. Another thing is like maybe seeing if the world around you, lack of a better word, is maybe not as toxic, right? There was a book that came out maybe 10 years ago, if you ever heard of it. It was the keynote speaker at one of the conferences I went to, and the title of the book was called Death by Rubber Ducky or something. And it was just saying how all these different symptoms and all these things and hormone disruptors are causing maybe, you know, at that point it was about hormone issues, but also cardiovascular disease, all the stuff. But there was a huge chunk about it, about hormone disruptors, right? So just trying your best to like use glass, don't use plastic in the microwave, or just do whatever you can to support your detoxification. There's like ginger, turmeric, you know, things that help your liver extract all the extra hormones that are maybe being fed to us through, you know, beef that's not organic, for example. Or do you know what I mean? Like trying to do the simple things to give your body a good space for your hormones.
Yeah, so you're not taking in things that inhibit your estrogen. Like you're trying to build your estrogen up as much as possible. So you could be drinking soya products, that sort of thing. Also, let's, you and me, Dr. Alicia, we're going to do our Kegels right now. Let's do some Kegels.
Let's do 1, 2, 3.
I'm doing my Kegels. Yeah. So if
it's
you
true,
are,
though. It's the simplest thing.
Yeah. If you are experiencing dry vagina, I would definitely get on the Kegel train. And,
Kegels are great. Pelvic
and
floor
just start, you know, building up that vaginal muscle. And
it's true.
It's going to help. It, you know, it might not solve it all, but it's certainly going to help the issue.
And another great thing is like one of the handouts I always give out is something called seed cycling. It helps just balance out your hormones. So different seeds can help like estrogen. So like flax and pumpkin, and then you have sunflower seeds and safflower seeds. There's one more, but I combine them. So you're taking a cup, you know, a few seeds that are ground up in the first half of your cycle. Even if you don't have a cycle, just mimic one. And then the second half of your cycle, you're doing more like progesterone balancing seeds. So like, just like flax, sunflowers, all these different things can really help. And like I said, soy, and good thing about that you mentioned soy, because there was a lot of information out there and a lot of it has been almost like debunked, I think. I mean, maybe for someone who's prone to like very severe estrogenic cancers, for example, sure, maybe take some precautions, but I really don't think there's enough evidence to say that you won't stop eating soy in women. But if you want, you know, let's do the least amount of harm. So if you're worried about that and you're worried about an estrogenic cancer that's in your family or that you've had before, then maybe watch how much soy you're having, how much flax you're having, just to not add too much to those estrogen receptors. Typically for women, it's actually a really good way to increase, your hormones.
To wrap this up, if you were to give your best piece of wisdom around women taking supplements to help with her libido or whatever, what would that be?
Just supplement-wise or food-wise or no?
Any supplement and food-wise.
For someone who just kind of wants to increase their estrogen and in general kind of thing.
And just wants to, let's say she's going through low libido and she's on Instagram like I am and these Instagrams are saying, hey, this is gonna boost your libido be so sexually turned on.
I would say, as always, one size does not fit all, but like we talked about before, I'm glad you brought up the maca. That's one I see a lot, I think, because there's so many maca powders out there, and they're typically, you know, for the most part well received, except for those who get a little rubbed up from it. But and just remember that drops in estrogen and drops in testosterone. We always forget about that, right? Like, those are for women. We don't think about testosterone in women, but we need testosterone to increase our libido. So anything that can help, and it sounds simple, but any, even mild weight training, any kind of lifting, and that goes for men too. You see that a lot with men with erectile dysfunction or any kind of testosterone issues. They start weight training heavy weights and it almost resolves itself. That's kind of similar in women. There's so much you can benefit from just lifting weights maybe 2-3 times a week, walking, and just increasing whatever testosterone you can from that. And then just doing your best with that mindfulness piece, right? So if you're not going to take ashwagandha or the cortisol manager, things like that, or the magnesium, let's say before you even do all the things, the GABA, the L-theanine, that stuff we could always talk about. Whatever you can do to get your body into parasympathetic, which just means that calming state, right? Get yourself out of sympathetic. And that's, you know, things like getting yourself out of your head, like talking to someone, therapy, going out with friends. I'm a huge proponent of and I ask literally everyone that comes in, I'm like, what, in pretty full detail, what is your friend circle like? Do you have a friend circle? Do you go for coffees? Are you able to have real conversations with your girlfriends? Get it out. That, you know, just do whatever you can so that you're in a good, healthy, less stressful state. All these things can help.
That's great advice. And I really like this idea of, it's not about revving your libido up. It's about bringing yourself to a good baseline where you're not having to manage big up and downs. It's really about just having yourself here. And that way you can start feeling your natural libido, because you can't feel it otherwise, you know? So that's a great piece of advice.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad.
Now, if people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
Definitely through my website. I think you'll link it somewhere. DrRaujiND.ca. And that has my link to my email, has my link to my booking site for my in-person practice. And then soon it'll have a booking site to my online practice that will be available to anyone and all.
Anytime. Thank you, Dr. Alicia. Best of luck with your practice, and you're doing an awesome thing for the world. Awesome. That was a great interview, and you and I now have a list of credible products that might help us with our libido and dry vagina. Thanks again to Dr. Alicia. If you want a natural way to manage your vulva health and libido, please consider NuEve. Gynecologist and scientist Dr. Renji Chang developed NuEve's product line, which includes Crescendo for libido support. Dr. Chang has done rigorous testing and research, and the NuEve product line is safe and effective. So please go to their website and check out their research and their reviews. And if you do decide to buy, please use my affiliate code Trina and you will receive a 5% discount. Bottom line, women should feel empowered in their relationships to ask for her sensual needs to be met, which takes the two of you figuring it out together. I'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on how holistic supplements worked for you.
Please check out my free Sex Bootcamp Masterclass workbook and video, and thank you for liking and subscribing to my YouTube channel. Your support helps grow women's sexual pleasure because you deserve a deep, soul-quenching, mind-blowing sex life.